Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net, if you prefer. You know, I think we had our first negative week in like a zillion years. It's been incredible, hasn't it? I mean, what a run we've had. You stop and you realize that the S&P, after pulling back, 1% last week, is up 9% year to date. A decent year, all in the first quarter. On the heels of a great year last year, and on the heels of a political situation that nobody's happy about. I mean, both sides don't have the person that the majority of them would like to have. It's weird, right? I mean, it's weird that 75% of Democrats don't want JoJo and 75% of Republicans don't want Donald Trump. And that's who we have. It doesn't make for people to feel great about the future. And JoJo just announced $7.3 trillion. I know you don't hear about that because the press protects JoJo. But $7.3 trillion is not a doable number. I mean, we're not in a pandemic. We don't need to spend more money, and we are already $33 trillion in debt. And we still don't talk about it as a moral discussion. What are we doing to our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids? What are we doing? Robbing from them. Oh, we're making a better world, a fairer world, a more whatever world. No, you're not. You're destroying it. Big government never works anywhere, ever has in all of history. It's never worked. It doesn't work. And continuing to spend, how are we going to pay for it? It eventually has to be paid. It's paid with future taxes, future debts, future reductions in what government can do. At some point. We don't know what that point is, so I'm not here to be the person that points out negative and say, oh, it's about we're all going to die. You know me better than that. But it's a weird circumstance, isn't it, that this is the political environment that we're in. And the economy is so slow. There's arguments every day, and there's data every week that tells us it's really good or it's really bad. In other words, we're just kind of on this in-between. We don't know. And clearly, though, inflation is persistent, and it just won't go away. And it's starting to bump up and bubble up in other ways that took time to show up. An example is, it's tax season. Let's pick on the accountants. Have you noticed a big increase in tax preparation? Accounting fees? I sure have. I know my clients have. Have you hired an attorney? Ouch. It's big. You see, service fees are going up a lot. And we see it in our industry, too. We see it on the technology side. That thing that used to cost $50 a month is $80 or $100 or more. Same thing. See, we're all used to paying every month for some of the tech services, and they're great, and they certainly make sense, but I'll bet they've doubled over the last 3 years, at least doubled, and that filters all the way through. So, and I think the thing that people don't generally understand about inflation, I know you do, but that prices go up, and if inflation's coming down, it doesn't mean prices are down. It means they're going up less quickly. That's all. Something that used to cost a dollar and now costs $1.15, when they tell you inflation is slowing, so it's only going to be $1.18 this year, it's not cheaper than it was. It's not cheaper. So we're dealing with this and still trying to work our way through. We've got a very odd situation with the economy. Nobody can figure it out. We've got enemies all over the world, and JoJo is in retreat everywhere he goes. Nobody understands what our foreign policy is, particularly our enemies. And the market keeps going higher. Isn't it amazing? And so as we enter into this political season, I think the number one takeaway for us ought to be that we think all these things matter more than they do to the individual companies. And I mean, they matter when you have one party in particular that says, tax everybody to death. Okay, well, that's going to affect, you know, that is going to affect business. It's going to affect profits. It's going to affect whether business expands. It really has a huge effect on the economy because, well, small business owners are the economy. They're most of it. And if you tell them that you're going to destroy them for expanding and raising taxes, if they work harder and make more money and are more productive, then I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to play. So it does have an impact. But when we think about individual companies and we think about what's going on in a place like Afghanistan, with the, you know, boggled retreat they had, what's going on in the Middle East, a little shipping problem here or there. Okay, yeah, you know what? That is really a problem and it needs to be stopped. And I don't understand why we sit around and go, yeah, red line over here. We don't do anything. And that's frustrating. Totally frustrating. But is that really impacting in a major way how many Google searches people are doing? Whether AI is becoming this a miracle monster. Whether Micron is expanding. Does that really impact that? And you can say around the edges it does. Absolutely. And in the long run, we're spending too much money and it will kill us. I get that. But the market is, even though it's thinking long term, it's not really long term, right? I mean, it's like a year or two out. That's what it's thinking about. Not how many trillions of dollars of spending waste that we can do to supposedly create a better environment, a nicer America. When does it blow up that we can't pay our bills? When does somebody say $7.3 trillion? Are you kidding me? That's like $3 trillion more than it was during the before the pandemic. It's the same as the pandemic. What are we doing? Nobody talks about it, and that's our political scene right now. And it bothers us, rightfully. But when it comes to the markets, it shouldn't. It shouldn't. Do we expect corrections? Of course, and I'm going to talk about that in the next hour. Because we have to expect corrections. We have to. They're part of a planning, if you will. But what people do when they make mistakes is, well, the market's so high, they're going to go in the Wall Street casino. Ho, ho, ho. It's a casino. You know, it's not, but I guess that's a catchphrase. And when disclosures are in the insurance world, they don't have to disclose anything, then people can say whatever they want. But and scare people as much as they want. And take whatever today's headlines are and turn them into a big scare tactic of something that always works in the long run. You don't bail, but you have to plan. We don't want to get caught up in everything is so great, I got to wear shades. But doom and gloom is a disaster. It always has been. Always. And we'll talk more about that in the next hour. Right now, let's go ahead and, you know what? I'm going to need headphones and all that stuff. We'll go ahead and go to Patriot Ray. Thank you, sir, for calling. Go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Dave. You know, it's always a pleasure to hear somebody who has some sanity in their thinking. You know, the government has always said, we want to give this, we want to give that. They want to make it so we have a minimum wage that's so high that people just can't survive. I mean, there's some people in California who finally got awake, and one guy says, what good does $20 an hour do me when I don't have a job? Because they can't afford to pay $20 an hour.
Right, right.
And then you've got restaurants that are closing down because they can't afford the people $20 an hour. And they're driving them out of business because of their minimum wage fallacies that says we're going to make things better when it actually destroys. And it has every time they've done it. Whether it was $10 an hour or $12 an hour or $15 an hour, they keep pushing the envelope to where people can't survive. And that's insanity. That's just doing something that you're trying to make better and you're making it worse. And you know you're making it worse. The government knows that.
Yeah, they do.
So David, it's a pleasure to hear somebody that has sanity in your voice. There's like, wait out the systems. Go what you can do and do what you can do better. When I was a young man, I wanted to make more money. Yeah, everybody does. But I worked hard and did better, and my companies that I worked for rewarded me for that. Today, if you're a company, they punish you if you don't give somebody who doesn't have any skills $10 an hour. It's insane.
Yeah.
So you get the skills by getting a lower paid job and want to have an advancement and working hard to do those things. So I just appreciate your on the air and telling people, you know, it's not the way to do it to expect their government to supply everything for you, because as soon as they can supply it, they can certainly take it away. So thank you, Dave, for being on the air.
Thank you. Thank you, Patriot Ray. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You have a wonderful day. God bless.
God bless. You too. Thank you. You know, it's interesting. It reminds me his comments, and this is I always like to come with an article too, an editorial or something. But Wall Street Journal had a great article specifically on California and their new $20 per hour minimum wage on fast food companies. And it's been kind of an interesting thing because there's been carve outs for special political donors to Gavin Newsom. And that's been very public. I can't think of the name of the company right now. I'm sorry. Panera Bread. Because they were able to throw them into a bakery situation. I have no idea why, but they managed to carve that out. I do know why. We all know why. And things like that have come to light. But on top of this, here's one that just came to light, though. Gavin Newsom, just his companies, he's got some wineries and stuff like that. They're offering jobs at below the minimum wage of $20. So it's not important for him to do that. It's just important for them to dictate that to other places. And now, on top of that, to Ray's point, the unemployment rate in California is the highest in the country. Did you know that? I really didn't know who it was. I assumed it was New York or New Jersey or some idiot-run company. Illinois might be another one. But it's actually California. And, of course, they're also underserved for fast food restaurants. They're the most underserved in the country. They have less restaurants now than prior to the pandemic. All the other states are growing. All of them that I know of. But anyway, it's an interesting thing, and it really does play out. All right, with that, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about expecting a correction in hour number two. And right now, we're going to take a break for Fox News. We will be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I always say this, I mean it. We're not here to tell you what to buy, and sell. We're 10,000 foot level look at things. That's what I prefer. Sometimes, including now, I'm about to get into the weeds a little bit. I don't like it. I think that everybody thinks differently, and I have to address that. I mean, I like the big picture look at things. I think I like the common sense, straight up. I don't need a ton of data when something just is like obvious to me, right? Now, when I say that, I'm going to talk about all the doom and gloom and all the things that are going on out there and how we should be expecting a correction. As I promised, I'm going to talk about that. But I also have to lay the foundation here where a lot of this came from in my mind. It's one of those cycles you run through where you see
several in a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You see several cases of these equity indexed annuities that are just so gosh awful. It makes you angry that these things even exist. It makes me angry at the Department of Insurance for doing little to nothing about the egregious claims. You know, like there's no fees. Oh, there's a 10% commission, but that's not a fee. Oh, yeah, well, that's okay. It's paid by the insurance company. Really? Like at the car dealer, they don't put it in the price of the car to pay the car salesman, you know, $1,000 commission for a car. No. It's just paid by the car dealer, not by you, the buyer of the thing, the car, the annuity. It's not in the price. No, you don't pay for it. It's magic. Magic fairy dust takes care of that. All of these things that lack any kind of reasonable disclosure are frustrating things. They are. And so some of that came from this, and some of it comes from the fact that, you know, we have to expect corrections. And again, I'm going to set that aside for a moment and talk about this in the whole light of, let's be careful when I say these things, because I'm amazed at when somebody will come back and say, yeah, I heard you're expecting the market to tank. No, I didn't say that at all. I said we are going to have, I will say it again, and I'll say it again later. I'll say it now up front. I expect corrections all the time. We have one, on average, one 10% correction per year. Multiple 5%ers. And you'd think the world was ending, that this was the top. This is it. Now, time to get out. Bail. When you're down 5. It happens all the time. We haven't had one for a while. It doesn't mean we're going to have one next week. But when you need money out at any time, we need to be planning for that, okay? So put that on hold. We'll talk about that some more. We get this caught up in this idea that we can and we believe when non-fiduciary sharks show up and tell us anything they can, anything they want to. Anything they want. There are no fees. You can have market returns with no risk. No, you can't. And I just want people to understand, if you're scared, there's plenty of products out there that are way better. If you just can't bring yourself to participate in the greatest wealth creation device that's ever been invented, that's unbelievable, that works so good, it works generation after generation after generation after generation. And it's creative destruction, because the big dominant ones when I was a kid, some aren't even around, and they're different today. IBM was so dominant in the tech sector when I was a kid into when I was a young adult. Does anybody go, what's going on at IBM these days? Does the CEO get on CNBC like ever? Who is the CEO? Right? They're like, they don't exist. The oil companies were dominant. Now, I'll talk more about that, because they're looking really dominant now, right? They're doing really well. We're going to talk about that. But as we think about this, it's this whole amazing creative destruction. What is the king of the world today wasn't 20 years ago. And 30 and 40 years ago, we were talking about Ford and General Motors, right? Nobody thinks of Ford as like, wow, golly, I got to own some of that. They are just killing it. It changes, and yet it still stays and averages 10% returns over long periods of time. Like all long periods of time. 23 years, 28 years, 33 years, 45, 82. It's not this just little time frame. Wow, they did 10 here. And that's what you'll hear too nowadays with the doom and gloom crowd. Gold's at an all-time high. Hurry and get on board. Okay. But it has no income to it. And its history is, over my investing lifetime, which is 42 years in this industry, it's been below inflation, the very thing that they brag about all the time. They can't even keep up with inflation. And there's no income. But it's the only true store of value. You see what I mean? It's these things are disconnected to me in a big picture way. I don't get it. I don't get why we gravitate towards non-regulated industries like insurance. Oh, so they have regulators. They don't have a fiduciary standard at all. At all. It's not even close. I think the SEC would take me out and shoot me if I said something like, you can get market returns with no risk. I should be shot. That's not true. And the products on Wall Street, they would be sued into oblivion if they did what these things do. I saw one about a week ago, and I'll tell you what, it's kind of heartbreaking because the amount of money lost is just astronomical. It really is. And they're always picking on people who are dead fearful, like in 2008 and 9, and are old. Older people have a tendency to believe people, not check the details. But when you look at them and you say, okay, so if this product really does do that, why doesn't Wall Street just do that? I mean, who wouldn't want market returns without risk? Warren Buffett would just say, sell everything, let's do that. Why don't I? Why wouldn't we just like go and say this? Okay, well, commissions are 10%. So if we took 25%, just 25. Now, I know the insurance agents out there, the equity indexed annuity people, are out there telling you that you should have all your money there. Okay, but let's just say we're only doing 25%. Of the assets we have under management, that would be a $30 million payday. I'm apparently too stupid. Why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I do that with my family's money? You see, those are answers to me from a 10,000-foot level. Look, why wouldn't CFPs do this? Because why are they barred from doing it? Is it because it's such a good product? It's super secret, and you're... registered investment advisor, certified financial planners that come under the fiduciary rules, those are barred because it's a secret. It's a secret thing. To me, that's the whole thing. It just doesn't make any sense that we wouldn't all do that, that Wall Street wouldn't do this like crazy. And that's the negative world. So to me, sometimes we have to get into the weeds and say, okay, that's not good enough, I guess, okay? It's not good enough that nobody that has a fiduciary standard does this stuff, that we can't even talk about it, that all of the brokerage houses don't do it, even though there'd be boatloads of money to be made. Warren Buffett doesn't do it. Nobody does it. But you should. See, to me, that kind of says it all, doesn't it? You should pay a 10% commission, all these other things. And you go into deals like the one I saw this past week where you have, let's not even say it's an okay deal, but you have some deal up front. Like you're capped out at 8% the first year. And then you have 10 years worth of really high surrender charges, but every year they can reset what that cap is. And so they run the numbers. Because this client happens to be helping their father, who's now in their 90s. Isn't that great? Isn't it great when people get scared by people who are really old and put them into products they can't get out of? I think that's grand, really grand. Well, anyway, during the 2008-2009 debacle, fear, put it in there. Okay, a lot of people ran for the hills, but they didn't necessarily tie it up in these products that you can't get out of. Because as we all know, the market has recovered a lot, more than its average returns since then, more than 10%. And here we are with market returns. Remember, that's what's promised, and no risk. And the rate of return, drum roll please, is less than 3% per year. Less than 3. Now, I told you we'd get in the weeds. We have to a little bit because you have to understand we are going to enter a time with a correction. sometime. And people are going to go, see, you got to get out of the Wall Street casino. And so I'm not just here to say that these things are horrifying, and they are. And I'm reminded because I was asked to step into a meeting for some folks that are getting their, oh, goodness gracious, what's the advanced degree for crying out loud? It doesn't matter. Okay. Anyway, in business. And they were doing business ethics. And so my son-in-law asked me if I would zoom in, because they're all over. Actually, it's really kind of cool the way this is, right? So it's Penn State master's program. There we go. Popped in my head. Master's program in business. He's in the military in New York, right? And there was this lady in Dubai who had to get up at 5 in the morning, so I have no idea what she looks like because she said, I'm not turning on my camera. I don't, can't blame her. And then another person, I couldn't remember where they were from. But anyway, all over the place, and it brought up this ethics question. And we are always looking for new, talented people. And I thought one of our talented people said, you know, said it really well when looking, was when talking with one of the new, our new advisors, and said, you know, if you're looking to go make a ton of money early on, you're going to need to go to one of these annuity shops because that's not what they do here. And I shared this story from a long ways back, because firms like ours today are worth a lot of money because people want to invest that way. And they're consolidating in our industry. And as I pointed out to somebody, I think it was last week, who also went through this, like I said, it's been in the last couple of weeks. A week or two ago, we got a call on this program where somebody was really concerned that they were put into an annuity and by their, quotes, friend. And they were concerned about it because it didn't seem to be doing what they thought it would do. And I made that comment. I made this comment and said, if you know, it takes time in this industry, but you can't get out of the way of money if you do the right thing day after day and you study hard and you work hard. You can't. It just chases you down. And so does the love of your clients. Instead of the dread of your clients who you've trapped in terrible things. It's a different path. It leads to greater, but it is a different one. And and our new person, newish person sharing it with the brand new, really brought that to light. That no, you will get there, and you'll get there in an amazing way. Or you can go out and you can scare people into bad products every time the market does this or this or this. But there's good news on the other side, too, if you're scared, okay? I have to take a break. But I want to, again, I want to talk about this in the sense of we are going to have corrections. If you're nervous and you need money, what do you do? What do you do? How do we begin to parcel this out? And that's very much a part of income planning in retirement. Income planning before retirement. Like I've got a kid coming up for school. Boom, I'm going to need some tuition. What do I do about that? Those are the kind of things, the questions that we ask. Do we put those in and we tie them up in products that won't work? Out of fear, the answer is no. We don't want to react. We want to plan ahead. So markets are at all-time highs. Well, excuse me, a little less than 1% off of all-time highs, to be precise, after a huge run, like they always do, to all-time highs. Do we wait until the market goes down and then we need money, or we panic because we're going to need money? No, of course not. We plan ahead. Is this a depressing discussion? No. It's an inevitable certainty. And the amount of products out there for people are amazing. And they don't make you trapped. They don't pay commissions anymore. The world is changing. It's changing for the better. Certainly in our industry it is. All right, we got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-KIDO. and it's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number. dave@petsofinancial.net, if you prefer. Email, okay? All right, so it's not okay to just sit here and go, these people are bad. Buy stocks. Because not everybody can just do that, okay? They're just scared or whatever. Or we need money sooner, right? So let's talk about some of the solutions that there are out there if you are afraid. Because if we're expecting a correction, and you always should, and or you need money, like, for example, in retirement planning, I've said this many times, we should have 3 to 5 years worth of income always set aside, no matter how good things look. Now, the set aside can look like many different things. It depends. Is the market at all-time highs like it is? Then we ought to be more towards that five-year period. Okay? If the market's down, then obviously you can spend down some of that, number one. Number two, that isn't necessarily sitting in cash at all. How about bonds, preferred stocks, the fact that dividends are being paid, whether stocks are up or down, those dividends come in. So that's like, if you will, it's like our reservoir is full of snow melt in a good year like this, right? So we harvest some of the gains from the market, and then we turn that into our cash or water. Okay, it's not cash. We'll come back to that. And then regularly, though, we get rain. We get rainwater into our reservoir. That's the dividends and interest being paid in. That counts, too, because we really don't care what the prices are as long as we're receiving the income. So we want to always have 3, 5 years, even more, when we are getting returns. Now, that can always look like something different. Now, money markets are paying over 5%. Wow. Wowee. We can actually hold some cash. Daily interest, everything from ETFs that invest in U.S. government, floating rate notes, meaning it has no duration. That's all that means. It doesn't tie it up for any period of time. You can have some bonds because, you know, they're going to come due at some point in time. It doesn't really matter if the interest rates go up a little bit as long as we're getting some interest in there. What we don't want to have is 100% of it in the market. Now, when interest rates were zero, we had to really search for yield, and did. Some of that was in real estate and other things that were a little less liquid, but they paid something. They paid 5%. More notes with corporations, things like that. That are really quite readily available out there as alternatives. All of that to say, we have to be planning because we need money. That's not a market prediction. It's not anticipating what the market's going to do. We already know there's going to be corrections. What we don't want to do is tie money up in these fear products, fear things. The world's coming to an end. I'm Steve Bannon. I'm Joe Schmo. I'm a washed-up actor. Here, look what's in my safe. It's gold. It's silver. It's an equity indexed annuity. We don't want to do that. And even today, we have solutions. Let's say, for example, market's pretty high, and you're like, it could keep going. It often does. And it does. In the long run, it always goes higher. How about I buy an exchange-traded fund that protects, let's say, 15% of my downside? Okay. There's only, I don't know, like a dozen of those traded every day in the millions of shares. Oh, not a dozen, sorry, hundreds of them. Hundreds. And they're exchange-traded funds, and you can buy and sell them for, that's right, no commission. And if you change your mind in 6 months and want to do something else, you can, and there's no surrender charge. There will be a market fluctuation up or down. I don't know what it will be, but you do have a buffer. And that buffer runs for a year. You don't like the buffer the next year? Remember, in an equity index annuity, they do whatever they want. They say, it's 2% now. What? You told me it was 8. Yeah. You got a surrender charge. We got you for 10 years. And we can change the deal every year. Who in the world would get into that? Well, if they had to disclose that, which you'd have to disclose in any industry anywhere in the world except the insurance industry, that would be like number one. Who would get into a contract that can be changed any time after the first year? And you're trapped in it for 10 years. Well, nobody would. Nobody would get into that, but that's exactly what they do. So we're talking about what is an alternative to that. You have an exchange-traded fund you can sell tomorrow. You don't like the deal in a year because it comes up every year, and the new buffer is another 10, 20, whatever percent you choose. There's even one out now, just started, and it'll be done every month. You can sell anytime, and it re-ups every year. 100% of your downside is protected. There's a big price to pay for that, and I don't recommend it. But it's a lot cheaper than getting into an equity index annuity if you're that fearful. The cap is 8.5%. So if the market does 20, you get 8.5. And you don't get a dividend. That's the price of the downside protection. So if you look for something like that, I would recommend you do something like, say, a lower percentage of protection. Because we'd have never had 100% loss in the market. And I know that there's plenty of people out there telling you it's going to happen. But I don't know what you're going to take to the store from the magic insurance company if all the market goes to zero, means all the corporations have gone to zero and cash, the whole economy's imploded. So I'm not sure what the dollar bill looks like. But you're guaranteed for what? I don't know. It's kind of like me planning for a nuclear attack. I don't know how to plan for that because it's all gone. There's no way to manage around that. A zombie apocalypse is like, not like something, well, oh, whoa, I got a product over here for the zombie apocalypse. No. I guess you build a bunker and you buy guns and ammunition, store food, and get a whole bunch of friends that have the same. And you create a compound to keep all the rest of the zombies away. I don't know what you do. So we have so many of those, hundreds of them traded every single day. And they're not hard to understand. It's super simple. Here's your cap. Right now, the caps on a 1 year are running, believe it or not, in the 17 to 18% range with 10% downside protection. That's high. That's high. Normally, they're going to run in the low teens. 12%, 13%, somewhere in there. They're running high right now with 10% downside. I want more than 10%. Fine. They've got some that are 9. Some are 15. Some are 13. It's crazy. You can get whatever protection you want in an exchange-traded fund, and they reset every year if you're fearful. If you're like me, you know markets fluctuate. I'm okay with that. Sure, I like to say things like, and we're going to talk some more about this in a minute, what areas of the market are bargains and which ones are not? Of course, we like to talk about that and do that. And we love talking about owning Google and Amazon and Apple. Great companies. And they go through the ups and the downs, and it's okay. And then I get to collect the dividends. That's what we should be doing. But I take it and understand that, A, you don't have 42 years experience like I do, and 50 years of investing, because I've done it since I was a young kid. I get that, and I get that there's fear, and it sounds really complicated, and it's really hard for some people, and they just don't care. It's just not their thing. It's like, it's not my thing to, you know, think about actors and actresses and stuff. I just don't. It's not my thing, right? It's not my thing to be watching cooking shows. It's okay that it's other people are different. And when they're not that interested, this is hard and I don't want to learn anymore. I'm done. And so they do shut down. I get that. And so then the fear can easily creep in because somebody, a friend, or they're listening to the radio or TV, and they come on and say, the world is ending. Oh, well, I better do something. And so, again, there are many, many alternatives out there now to that. And so instead of standing here and saying, you got to do this, you got to own stocks, I believe you do. But if you can't, then you build a portfolio that has a lot less volatility, that protects some of your downside, but gives you the opportunity to get out. And it actually works. It doesn't trap you and steal your money. I have no idea how these insurance companies, I mean, I would have to take a shower if I entered a room full of insurance executives that do this. And not all insurance companies do this. Because they know what the products are. And they know they're just stealing from people. And so do the agents that go out and do it. And this isn't all annuities. But it is almost all that are sold today. And so this is a hard thing, but we now have options. Since we can't get the regulators to do a darn thing about stealing money from old people, it's nice to know that products are available out there. So for those of you who help their families, they're all over the place. So when mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, they want to go because they're scared, it's okay. Just know there's stuff out there that isn't going to trap them and enrich an agent. There's a lot of stuff out there, and it's getting better every single day. All right, on the next side, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a lot about what areas of the market I think are pretty darn good, not just like planning for a correction, but we're going to talk about both, because that's an important part of the whole discussion. Now, before any corrections, we always want to know they're coming. They're coming. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hey, before we get on to this, I'm going to take a quick call here, but I do want to finish up this thought of investing in, quotes, safe stuff, that there is safe stuff now. 2 years ago, it was much harder to find. 5 years ago, much, much, much harder to find. Technology's changed a lot of things, a lot of things. And interest rates are much, much higher. Anything's much higher than zero, I get it. But 5 on cash is a whole different world. It's just much easier than it was. We feel more scared. But the reality is, that's from the inputs, right? That's from politics. That's from inflation. It's how we feel, and how we're feeling about our own security. But it's easier than ever to get 4 or 5% lifetime income, cost of living adjusted, you can't outlive, than it's ever been. Well, not ever. Certainly in 15 to 18 years. We went a long time at zero or near zero interest rates, a long, long time. And that has really changed a lot. So we'll come back to that. But right now, let's go ahead and jump on the phones. Terry, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Professor. Sun's out. Let's go golfing.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Not so nice.
Hey, last week when we ran out of time,
yes, sir.
To go back to what you were talking about on energy, on use on Bitcoin. And I wanted to put out a couple of things. First thing is FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Applies to all the markets, but especially when people are putting out things that are not quite accurate on crypto or on Bitcoin. The heck with cryptos. But there's a lost transmission of electricity is about 3 to 5% according to the Energy Information Agency. I know it's government. We don't trust them, but I'm doing the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin itself, or cryptocurrencies, I couldn't get Bitcoin separated out. It uses 0.6 to 0.3% or 2-3% of the power and electricity produced. So it's pretty much a wash on what's being lost in transmission versus what they're doing. Plus, they're capturing a lot of stranded energy that's produced.
Okay.
So I just wanted to get that straight out there. It's just after I took exception when you called me a drug dealer and a crook early on in the crypto thing,
I don't remember that.
You were using that as a general thing of this is what everybody says, and I just ask you to be a little more thoughtful on it. Hey, listen, ask somebody that might know something, and you can talk it out.
Right, right. That's fair.
So,
that's fair.
And on the other thing, with you're doing your insurance guys, back in economics 101, 40 years ago, I learned tossoffle.
Okay.
There ain't no such thing as a free lunch.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yep.
And once we get that put into everybody's brain, all right, where's the angle on this? Somebody's making money somewhere.
Right.
So anyway, that's my complaint session for the day. I got to go pick some roses now.
Okay. So. All right. Have fun with your roses, okay?
Oh.
All right. Thanks, Terry. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I'll tell you what makes the most sense to me is to go ahead and take our final break, which right now, and then let me conclude all this about the how we plan for corrections and what that looks like. Okay, we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. Hey, if you have any questions, comments, those are at petsofinancial.com. We also have articles, calculators, podcasts, and Zooms. You can get those at YouTube directly, or you can go through our website to get there on many of the topics we talk about. So, and also, I think we're going to have one here coming up, too, that is going to deal with corrections, planning for corrections. So the beauty of that is that we can get into more details because we're focused on one particular thing, and we have a couple of visuals. So those are neat to check out as well. But we'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email and tell us what you would like to talk about. Now, as I get into this, there's so many different things that come flying into my head. I want to say this first because I don't want this to be this thing, I think we need to make adjustments to our portfolio because this guy who's almost always positive, yes, I am, I'm really positive, certainly on the ability of markets to come back from adversity or just keep rolling to all-time highs for my whole life, then I am. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm not trying to time the market. I'm saying when we are in great circumstances like we are, markets are at all-time highs. They've been running great. We have money we can earn in money markets and things like that that we want to plan for. A correction. If you need money. If you don't, leave it alone. That's not what we're talking about here. Sure, if you want to let some dividends build up on the sidelines and stuff on the stocks you own, great. Build them up. You can get 5% money market, and then if you get a 5 or 10% correction, or here's the beauty of it, the way markets work, we can talk about, what about energy? Oh, yeah, I know. Exxon's up 20% year to date. Exxon's at all-time highs. Hit it on Friday. I can't buy that. I just got to say, this is not exactly a runaway freight train, okay? Selling at single-digit P.E. ratios like the energy industry is across the board. They're under attack from Washington, D.C. But do you really think JoJo's going to be our next president? I don't know. He could be. But they're not going to be able to continue to attack, and get away with the idea that people are going to be paying $5 a gallon gas and they're going to be happy about it. They're going to blame the Democrats for shutting them down. Because it just really doesn't matter. I don't care what you run on. You're running on global energy. You're forcing China to build more coal-fired plants in the air that we breathe. That's all. You don't like natural gas? Fine. Don't like natural gas. But I do. It means one less, 10 less, hundreds less coal-fired plants in countries that don't give a rip, like India and China. They would rather worry about food. And do. It's global energy. It doesn't matter what the source is. I know you can feel really grand about yourself. You feel like you're super clean. You're the one. You're the hero of the universe. But you're not. The universe is bigger than you. Even our own little world, we breathe the same air all around it. And when we force this, like we're not going to export natural gas because that makes us holier than thou, what do you think Europeans are going to do? Starve? Not have industry? Freeze to death? Or do you think that they're going to buy coal or anything else that they can? We all know the answer, and that's the simplicity of it. So when we look at this and we think, hey, there are pockets out there we can do. So let's say you've got some money on the sidelines and you went, the thing that isn't working is energy. You could have been allocating to that for the last several months, all kinds of little dips that they had. Okay? Is it too late? I don't know. I don't want to predict. What I'm saying is they're cheap. They're really cheap. Not because I predict oil is going to $120 a barrel. I don't have to play the Goldman Sachs is never right game. It is high. It can pull back a lot, and these companies are still profitable and paying great dividends. Okay? That's all. I'm not trying to sell anybody on energy. Just saying there are always pockets, even within markets that are at all-time highs, that are still relatively cheap. So when we let some dividends accumulate during times of all-time highs, we have cash to go ahead and allocate to areas that stumble or haven't moved. Number one. Number two, if you are ready to be heading towards retirement, you want to start building out an income portfolio, meaning you're buying some of these dividend-paying stocks that raise their dividends every year. You're also beginning to have some bonds in your portfolio. You can now. I've changed my tune. We have to change our tune based on the market conditions, right? When bonds were 2% on a 10-year treasury, we owned zero of them. Zero. Now that treasuries are at 5%, we can own some. It's not a statement of interest rates going higher or lower, how bond prices are going to do. But if I can get paid 5, I don't have to have all of my money in stocks because I do have to plan for a correction. The only way I run out of money in an investment that goes up and up and up my whole life long, my dad's life, my grandparents' lives, over time, is that I have to withdraw income or emergencies, whatever it is, at the wrong time when they're down. It's the only way you can lose. So we're just sitting there and saying, oh, let's put safety rails on this. So the vast majority is invested for long-term growth of income. But I want to be able to sustain any bear market, let alone a correction. And that's where we're looking at all kinds of bonds, stocks, dividend-paying stocks, high dividend-paying stocks, stocks in pipeline industries, things like that, that aren't really growth. They pay everything out in the form of income. There are all kinds of things out there that are yielding 7, 8, 9%. No growth, don't expect that. And you have to be aware that that dividend can get cut. Those are the kinds of things that you have sprinkled through a portfolio that really don't move with the market and allow you to have this reservoir. Because on top of that, you're throwing in your regular income. You can own Apple, Microsoft, and stocks that pay small, tiny dividends, but they raise them every year. When you have, on the other hand, other things in the portfolio that are earning 7, 8, and 9%. And then you never have to worry about selling down. That's what planning for a correction is. This is not me saying you got to make a change in your portfolio. Not at all. Not at all. So don't run with that. Markets work. But what we ought to be doing is taking advantage of the new markets, which are higher interest. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next week.